is he said, you have to die. Because he said, they'll never leave you. And I've still got, right now, I think I got 41 pending in federal court. And so I've whittled them down. I've whittled them down a long ways. But it was at one time up over 100 at one time. But they gradually chunk them out. And some of them, they just hold. I guess they hold. Because civil rights, alleged civil rights violations, they don't have a statute of limitations. They can go back 60 years if they want to and bring you to court on them and stuff. There's no limitation on them. There's none. And so I was like, God, what am I going to do, you know? I had a God consciousness, you know. I mean, I was brought up in church and went to a Baptist church and attended there, had the gospel shared with me several times, been through all the stuff. I even knew the gospel. But darkness doesn't draw you to the light. What I was looking for is to solve my problem. I wasn't looking for a holy God. I wasn't looking for a relationship with God. I was looking for deliverance from pain. And so what God does a lot of times is he brings pain into people's lives to force them, and he begins moving them in that direction. But a lost person is not seeking God. They're just not. And I say it from this standpoint. That's what the Bible says. I mean, look at the passage there. It says, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So man does not embrace light. He's not going to come to light. So what happens? A lot of times when you do evangelism and you start putting light out there, that person starts putting up defenses and stuff. So understand, that's a natural response. That's a natural response to it. People don't want the light. Look at the next verse. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. See, that's the thing that pushes you away, is all this stuff has got to... It's being exposed, and man's natural tendency is to try to cover that up, try to get away from that, okay? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I taught evangelism and discipleship for 7 years at a Bible college, and the first thing I always did in it is you build the depravity of man. You get that out there first. What are you dealing with when you do evangelism? You're dealing with people that are lost and in darkness and don't have any desire for light, okay? Bottom line, that's it. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. There's another passage right there. It gives it to you. Man is not seeking God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Okay? Now, I mean, that is solid right there. That, when you talk about, now let me explain some terms. Depravity, okay? What do we mean when we use the word total depravity? Now, usually when people talk about depravity, they'll pick someone like Jeffrey Dahmer. He's a very popular person to pick. And they'll say he's totally depraved, as if he's in a class separate from the rest of humanity. Okay, like there's people that are sinners, and then there's those that are totally depraved. The Bible reveals that all of humanity is totally depraved, okay? Now, what that does not mean is it does not mean this. It does not mean that man is as bad as he can ever be. It doesn't mean that. Total doesn't mean it's bad. Total refers to every aspect. Every aspect of man is depraved or controlled by sin. That's what total means. It means every part of your humanity is affected by sin. There is nothing good in man. As Paul said, there is no good thing that dwells in me. No good thing. That's the idea of total depravity. So your thoughts are depraved. Your heart is depraved. Your heart and mind, basically the same thing. Your mind is depraved. You don't have any affinity towards God at all. Okay? And so that's very important to understand. So therefore, any good work or good deed that a person tries to do, it's affected by sin. It's tainted by sin. So in reality, there is no good thing that you can do to merit favor with God, because everything that man does comes from his depravity, or the fact that he is depraved or affected by sin. Questions or comments? Anybody? That makes sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is most people don't believe that, and most people don't hold to that. They believe that there's just an inkling of good in man, and he's capable of doing something good. But when you understand Scripture, I mean, how clear does it have to be? In that passage there, verse 12, the last part of it, there is none who does good, no, not one. I mean, that's pretty clear. No man does good. The only being in the universe that does good is God. Man doesn't do good. And any good that we do, the only good that we do, has got to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit, or it's a work of the flesh. Because you only have two options. You either do things under the control of the Spirit, or things control under the flesh. And so anything under the flesh is no good. Anything under the Spirit is good. Okay? Think about that for a minute.
I think it's hard to accept.
Yeah, it's real hard. I don't like it.
Because there's so many things that we attempt to do and I guess justify it as we're doing good and we're helping people. But based on what you're saying, the motive is...
Yeah. See, that's where it gets off, is the motive. You know, let's just take something like, I see some guy's hungry and I want to give him some food. Okay? Is that a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing. Nothing wrong with it. When I talk about good, understand this, I'm talking about absolute good. Okay? Let's look at good. Let's define good. Make this clear. There's good that's accepted by God. There's good accepted by man. This good here would be called, if R stands for righteousness, this would be considered relative righteousness. This would be considered absolute righteousness. That's the difference between the two. Okay? That's how you have to understand good. And yes, ma'am.
I think another thing that confuses people is that there is the propensity to worship. So that looks like they're seeking God.
Yes.
When actually the root of it is self-worship.
You're absolutely right. Because there are... Did y'all hear her statement? Man is a spiritual being. He's created spiritual. But when we talk about man's spirit being dead, his spirit is dead to God. Okay? It does not mean he lacks spiritual desire. I mean, you talk to like a California hippie or something, and they'll tell you, I'm a very spiritual person. And there are a lot of lost people who are spiritual. I was down in Haiti, and voodoo people are very spiritual people. Very caught into the spirit. Satanists are very spiritual people. Okay? There is a desire to have a connection to the world of spirituality. Now, it's not this spirituality. But it's that mystical, unseen realm of world that's innate within man that he knows is out there. Let's look at a pattern. Look at Romans 1. And look at verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So everyone has a revelation of God. And so what I'm saying is everyone understands that there is some spiritual existence in the world. There's a spiritual reality out there. But when your spirit is dead to the things of God, your mind is darkened by sin, you don't have the ability to tap into it. So what do? Tap into false sources of spirituality. Hence, in prison system, we have 476 accepted religions. Not denominations, religions. And I got a request just this past, well, actually, week before last, this guy said he is a Rastafarian Israelite. Figure that one out. Okay. A Rastafarian Israelite. I said, wow. I'm going to go see him. I'm going to talk to him and find out what does this encompass, man. But he created a religion. And it's called Rastafarian Israelite. And so they're, actually they're diametrically opposed. But I don't know if he knows that or not. But they are. But that's a unique religion. I mean, kudos to the guy for coming up with that. That is really, I said, that is good, man. I've seen a lot of things in my lifetime, but that's the first time I've ever seen that. Rastafarian Israelite. And bizarre. But why do people come up with that? Because there is a desire in man to be spiritual. Indians, American Indians, Native Americans, very spiritual people. The whole world. Matter of fact, you go in third world countries, a lot of those people are lost, but they're more spiritual than Christians. I mean, they're so tied into it. Everything they do is tied into spirituality. For example, in Haiti, the colors of their flag, that's also the colors of voodoo. Red and black, it's also the color of voodoo. And everything's tied back into that religion, okay, because of man's spirituality. But back over here, understand this. When we talk about good, we're talking about relative good. I can give food to a human being, and from human viewpoint, that's viewed as being good. Okay? I help an old lady across the street. That's viewed as being good. Okay? But in the eyes of God, what is really good? Well, that's where the motive comes in, the purpose, that kind of stuff. Where does the intent come from? Question.
Well, just thinking about, you know, the scripture that talks about that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, I mean, you do a good work because, you know, you want to help the old lady across the street or whatever. It's just really examining yourself to see what your motive was. But the heart being deceitful, it's just really...
That's why you have to walk in the Spirit. See, when you're walking in the Spirit, and that's what I've been trying to talk about in Colossians, when you're filled with God's Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to purpose to do things because the Spirit is going to lead you to do them. Does that make sense? Look at Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay? And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. You see that? When you're in tune with God and you're walking in the Spirit, what God does is He moves your pathway. And if you're walking with God, you just do what the Spirit directs you to do. And that's Spirit-led. That makes sense to you? It's not you. You know, I'm going to go out and do something good today. You know, and you go look for something. It's that as you see things along the pathway, you do them. And you don't really think about motive or nothing like that. It's just simply what God leads you to do. But that's what that passage says. He will direct your paths. So that's how you find the will of God. The will of God is found not by asking God, which is fine to do, which direction should I go here? Okay? It's kind of like the Alice in Wonderland. When she's walking down that road and she comes to a fork in the road, she's talking out loud and she says, which path should I take? And the Cheshire Cat's up in the tree and he says, where do you want to go? And she says, I do not know. And he said, then it doesn't matter. And that's true. If you don't have an ultimate goal, what difference does it make which pathway you take? Okay? Same thing's true in life. The idea is not choosing pathways, it's choosing the Lord. It's following the Lord. When you do that, he directs your path and he gives you the desire of your heart. In other words, he puts into your heart what you should desire. And he directs that pathway. Is that your question?
Yes. So if we're walking in the Spirit, he would direct us to give food to this man.
Yeah.
To help this lady across the street.
Yeah, you just do it as you go, as you're going. Okay? Now, it doesn't hurt to pray, but I mean, if you're walking with the Spirit, it's gonna pop up. And the thing is this, a lot of times people are like, here's another screwy thing. This doesn't have to do with this, but just something that just popped in my head. People will come into my office and they'll say, the Lord's told me I need to do this. And I'm praying about it. And I go, time out, why? If God told you to do it, do it. What are you waiting on, a second? Do it. Does that make sense to you? You see how bizarre that is? I mean, if God told you to do it, why do you pray about it? That's sin. Because you're not obeying. Think about that, man. And so next time you won't say that. I believe the Lord's leading me to do this. And the next question is, why aren't you doing it? Well, why are you asking me? I mean, if the Lord told you to do it, do it. Better approach is this. I have a burden to do something. I need guidance on this. That can, you follow me? But see, by saying God told me to do it, that's a trump card. Once the trump card's played, it doesn't matter what I got in my hand. The trump card has been laid, and the trump card is God said. And when God says, you got to do it. Be careful doing that. I've had people start ministries, God's leading me to do this, and then 2 months later they quit. I said, well, did he lead you to quit, or what's the deal here? Oh, he's moving me in a different direction. Why would he do that? Why would he start a ministry and then you abandon it? You got people out here that are dependent on that ministry. You see how easy... A lot of times people say, God told me this, because when you say that, it's like it takes you off the hook. You know, I'm doing this because God directed me to do it, and it's not really my idea, you know, when in reality it probably is. But see, the way God moves us is, the desire is going to come, and when the desire comes, you move in obedience, and many times, that's going to be redirected. He's going to keep redirecting your pathway, okay? Because you may, for example, you sense God's leading you to do ministry of some kind. And your desire, human desire, may be to do a ministry for adults. But that's just because that's what you want to do. And so what you got to do many times is be flexible, because God will keep moving you in the area you want to do. For example, when I first started out, I thought God wanted me to do youth ministry, and then I thought he wanted me to do evangelism. Ended up, it was pastor in a church. All I really knew is he was wanting me to do something. He was moving me in that direction. I had a strong burden to do it. And so my personal desires cloud that up, because I didn't want to do it. First church I pastored as a full-time pastor, I was an interim pastor before that, but first church I pastored was a little church. I ended up staying there 11 years, little church out in the country, and there was like 6 people there the first Sunday I went. And I came from a church that was running 250, 300 every Sunday. And I went in there, and it had been so long, when I sat down on the back row, when I got up, you could see where I sat on the seat because there was mildew on the pews, and it wiped off on my pants. And I got up, and I could see where I'd been sitting. That's how long it had been since someone had come into the church. And you know, if someone visited the church, they're going to sit on the back row. So that back row would be cleaner than the rest of the pews. And so I was like, well, I know one thing. God doesn't want me in this church. And that's exactly where he wanted me. You know why? It was my desire. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go drive 35 miles one way to a church out in the middle of the country where the youngest person in there was as old as my grandfather. I said, there's no way. That's what God wants me to do. And so I preached the next Sunday because they asked me to come back, and their search committee was one guy, and he came up and said, hey, you want to be our preacher? And I said, well, let me pray about it. And he said, well, how long does it take you to pray about something? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll have to see. He said, well, I've been praying about it, and I believe you're the guy for the job. I think you ought to consider this. So I came back the next week and came back the next week. He hit me up every week. Finally, the third time, he said, listen, he said, either take this job or go somewhere else. Because he said, we need to start looking for somebody. And I knew right then it was me. I said, I'll do it. I mean, I just knew that's what I had to do. I didn't want to. I didn't have a great desire for it. And I said, well, you know, I'll do it because it won't last about a year. I was there 11 years. So, I mean, what I'm telling you is God, many times, we don't think it's God, but in reality, it's our own desire. Even though God's directing our pathway, our desire, our personal desire gets in the way and blocks the pathway. But with a lost person, there is no desire. Lost person channeled in this direction, every aspect of their being is affected by sin. So in essence, they're referred to as being lost or blind. Okay? We'll pick up on this next time. Just looking at depravity. And then how do you pierce depravity? How do you come through? How does a person that's totally depraved, has no desire for God, how could you ever get to the point where they want to have God? Think about that stuff. How does that develop? How does that come about? Scripture talks about it. We'll look at it, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll dismiss. Father God, we come before your throne, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace, your love toward us, for all the blessings in this life. And Lord, we just pray that we go from here to worship services, that you be honored and glorified there. Watch over and protect us all. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
So as we walk in the Spirit,